Hi, I'm Dr. Lynn Wagner.
And I'm James Lohmiller. In the chaos of today, sometimes it's hard to really know who you are and what you want to be.
Join us, the doctor
and the stylist,
as we come together from very different worlds to guide you towards a life of authenticity and true health.
Let's go.
Yes.
Good morning.
Hi.
So the other morning I was meditating, and it was one of my more, we talked in our last podcast, if you didn't listen to it, we talked about stress. And so in case you ever think that I don't have stress or I don't react to things or I don't get emotional, I do, but I always just try to talk about how not to be that way. So I was going through, it felt like a couple stressful days, and I was all worked up, and my mind was racing, and I got a lot of stuff going on with my business, which is exciting stuff, but it's just a lot. And so I had started my meditation practice recently up again. So I sat down and I started the meditation, and I was just, thinking about, okay, how, what am I going to do with this? And how are we going to grow this? And we're bringing this new service in. How is this going to go? And my mind was just going. And then I felt like this tension around me. When I feel really stressed, it feels like a vice around my heart almost. You just feel pressure, tension, like stress, right? So I don't know how you feel stress in your life or whatever, but that's how I was feeling it. And I just felt, it didn't feel good. So then I started thinking, okay, how do I get rid of this stress? How do I get rid of this stress? What am I gonna do? And I got to that point where my thoughts started going further and further apart, and I started getting to a more meditative state, which is awesome. And then I saw this like concrete around my heart. My heart was just full, like that vice I was experiencing, I could see it. It was like literally like this concrete, like a sculpture all around my heart. So I was like, okay, cool. I just need to start chiseling at it and working on it, hammering it and chiseling it away. And then my heart will come out and I'll feel calm again. Cause I always feel like we're full of love. Like that's our natural state. And so when you're open and in a loving state, that's when you feel great. So I was like, cool. I'll just crack that heart right open again. And it wouldn't budge. So then I was kind of like, okay, well, I guess I'll just keep working on it. Eventually it'll come through. But then I saw this red glow coming from inside of it and trying to come out. And it was like, all of a sudden I was like, wait, I don't have to work so hard. I don't have to chisel at this and be perfect and keep doing everything. I just need to calm down, relax, and be loving and give gratitude, and it will just melt away. And then that's what happened. So like I said, it's kind of hippy dippy and really deep.
No, it is.
But it was like super profound for me.
All right. So somebody like me, who I don't feel I've ever meditated before.
Yeah.
I don't know how to do it. I don't know, like, where do you even start? So I mean, you are talking some pretty deep shit.
I know.
The concrete around the heart, the red glow coming through.
I know.
So now, to your point, I'm sure a lot of people feel that way. Don't know how to describe it.
Right.
So,
right.
I mean, you were very descriptive in how that felt for you.
Right.
So if somebody is feeling even remotely like that, what does meditation look like? How would you even start something like that? Because I would have no idea.
Right. And I think one thing to realize is that that's the experience I had. And like, I'm telling the story and I can feel it and I remember what it felt like. But for someone listening to it, it doesn't really mean anything to them because it's not your experience. So, what I would say, and it's taken me a lot of practice to be able to have experiences like that. So like, I've done a lot of practice of meditation. So, the whole key behind it is meditation is a practice, right? So it's choosing to do it and then doing it regularly and being super, super patient with yourself, knowing that it's not going to be an overnight experience. You know what I mean? You might have, I know there's some books you can read about meditation where they say you might have months of racing thoughts and anxiety. Like some people get more anxious when they meditate because they're just with themselves in their own head. You know what I mean?
So in describing that, some people, if they don't know meditation or how to do that, they might go to a therapist.
Exactly.
Right?
So yeah. So I was going to say like one thing that I did when I first started meditating, and I started doing this back when I was doing my fellowship in integrative medicine. They introduced me to a person called, her name is Bella Ruth Napperstack. And she does guided imagery. So she's used at hospitals. She's internationally known. And she has, audio iTunes albums with guided imagery, and it's like a 15 to 20 minute experience where you lay on your bed or a couch or whatever, and you put your headphones in or you sit in a chair, and she walks you through an experience. So it's a really beautiful bridge to learning how to meditate, because you don't have to be alone with your thoughts and someone's talking and guiding you through the experience in your head, but it's training you to have calmer thoughts. It's always really good imagery. It's beautiful. Like, she talks about beautiful scenes. Again, it's super hippy dippy.
It was
very powerful for me, because when I started using it, I had depression, I had anxiety. I was going through a divorce. Like, it was a bad, bad time in my life, and it was literally a lifesaver. Mm. She has one for depression, she has one for insomnia, she has one for substance abuse, she has one for if you're going into radiation. Like, she has a ton of them.
And you're going to put up a link to
yes,
certain information
yeah.
on Instagram
yeah.
and Facebook.
Yes, and you
I
can
think
even.
That's pretty cool.
I think she even has some free ones. Like, if you go to, I don't know if that's still out there or not, but Kaiser Permanente, which is like a big hospital system in California, actually had links to some of her guided imagery for free, but it's really cheap on iTunes too.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was super powerful. And then after that, I actually worked with a meditation coach for a long time, and not one-on-one, but she was doing live meditations every morning that you could replay. So you didn't have to get up with her at 5:30 if you didn't want to, but you could, or you could just replay them. It was on Periscope at the time. I don't know where she puts them now. She has a new practice in De Pere now. And I'll put a link for her as well, because now she's doing like in-person meditation classes, but she's got a ton of stuff online as well. She even has one of her meditations in Insight Timer, which
cool.
is an app.
Yeah.
So that's the other thing I did, is I used apps. So the first app I used to learn how to meditate by myself was called Simply Being. So it wasn't as much talking as the guided imagery, but it was a little bit of talking and then like some rainfall or waves. You could choose whatever sound. It was like 5 minutes. So that was like my next step to like, okay, I'm gonna do this on my own. And then finally, I got to the point where I was like, I'm just sick of everyone else telling me how to meditate and listen to someone else. I just want to be with myself. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I was ready. And I was ready to be like, I'm going to sit by myself.
How long was that process?
Years.
Yeah. yeah.
Literally years.
Yeah.
And now that's all I want to do. And it's not always fun. You know, sometimes like this experience I just had with the heart, it felt like crap for the beginning of it. You know what I mean? And sometimes, you know, it's not always great. It's not always perfect. But and more often than not, it is great. And I think I haven't even been that consistent with it now for a while. So I think the longer and more consistent you are, it just becomes an experience where it's not always like beautiful, mad, cool experience.
No, do you become emotional when you're meditating?
No.
Or is that not the point?
It's not the point. I never become emotional. I become enlightened.
Yeah.
You're like, and, okay, so.
No, because I'm hearing this and I'm thinking, because who doesn't have their own thing, right? Their
yeah.
own concrete around the heart, whatever yours looks like.
Right.
But I would find myself, at least I would think, that I would become emotional about it to start letting those things go.
Yeah, and you probably could. But, you know, that's where, like...
I mean, don't you think a lot of people need to, like, when we talk about that and becoming, you know, more calm or... oh God, what am I looking for? People have to let go. So isn't there like a point where you just, like, it all comes out of you? Is that when you can really start to be more
know.
Meditative? You know what I mean?
No, I don't think
like
you
can. People hold on to baggage.
But I don't think it all comes out. It doesn't come out in one big violent vomit.
Yeah.
It comes
okay,
out.
Yeah.
It comes out in little bits and pieces, and it is never all out. Like, this is a journey in your whole life. Like,
yeah.
I think people like do all this stuff to get healthy and heal, and they think it's all of a sudden going to be just like, I've done it, I've gotten there. But it's like, no, you're not going to get there till you die, and then you're in another plane, right? You're in another level of
right.
life, or not whatever, afterlife, whatever it is. So the whole point is, it's an evolution, it's a process, and it's a growth, and it's like a dynamic thing, because it makes you interact. I don't know how to talk.
Well, no, it makes sense, because look, you go to church or synagogue or, you know, wherever you
yeah.
pray, you
yeah.
know, weekly or sometimes more than once a week. It's
right.
just that too. Like, you're not, it doesn't just happen. We're
mm-hmm.
like, oh, I'm done. That was, now I just, how I want to feel again.
No, that never happens.
Yeah,
cause
right.
like I said before, like, you get to this point where I was like, this last week when this incident happened that I think I talked about in the last one we did, but anyway, I had this emotional incident that I got really pissed, and I was like that whole day I was like so happy with myself. So I'm like, oh my gosh, I feel great, like everything's just bouncing off me like ricochet. I just feel super stable. And I just got really mad at myself, but then I was like, you know, it's an evolution, man. It's called humanity.
Yeah.
It's not perfection. So the other thing I was gonna say too about the whole like meditation piece that I was really like, oh, so one thing I've been really interested in lately is mushrooms. I have a point with this story.
Yeah.
So specifically I'm talking about hallucinogenic mushrooms. So like psilocybin, I think that's the right name for it. I have not done a ton of research on it. I've never used mushrooms myself, but there's a lot of research being done in other states.
Recently, a lot.
Oh, a ton, yeah, right. on the use of hallucinogenic, I can't say the word, whatever, mushrooms.
For
emotional healing.
Yes, correct.
And so like, and I even know that, I don't know the people, but I know people around me who are using like microdosing of these mushrooms on a daily basis instead of antidepressants and anxiety medications. And so part of me was like, oh, I really want to try this. I was like, maybe I should find a shaman in Peru or like go to California where these leading experts who are medical people are doing this legally and I can try it, because why wouldn't I want to get into that state where I experience what I experience in my meditations in an easier way? Like just take a mushroom and get there, right? But when I was doing this meditation the other morning, it made me realize like I don't need all these fancy things to get there. I just need me. I need to cut out the noise, and then I just need me, and I can get there without the mushrooms. And I'm not saying mushrooms are bad, and I'm not saying I'm not going to try them in the future when they're legal, but because I think they're going to be really amazing therapeutic modality that we can use.
So here's a question for you then. Somebody, I had a friend recently that was diagnosed with depression. For a long, long time, he's like, what is wrong with me? I don't know. Why do I feel this way? Finally gets diagnosed, has a professional diagnosis.
Yeah.
So somebody who is, has depression or clinical anxiety, somebody who's been
feels terrible.
Can meditation help you even if you have this disease?
Yes. I would say it should be a prescription for someone with depression.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So on top of what, let's say they're taking Lexapro or whatever it may be, this with that.
For sure. 100%. Yeah. And I have people all the time who come to me and I might start them on an antidepressant or they're already on one from another provider. And they're like, you know, do I even need this? Can't we just work on meditation and all these natural things that you do? And if you're in a state where you're just like really bad and really, really stuck. And I mean, depression feels awful. It's awful. It's like the world's painted gray and your heart's dead. And it's just a terrible feeling.
Concrete around the heart, right?
Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah.
I thank God I haven't experienced it in a long time, like really bad. Like I've had mood, you know, I get low, but that's just being human. But like if you're in that state, drugs can be so wonderful, meaning prescription drugs. And the way I like to use them with my patients, I like to use them as a bridge. We say, okay, let's do 6 months of this antidepressant. And then you're going to work on meditation and sleep, and we're going to do some supplements, and we're going to work on all this other stuff to get you maybe hopefully making your own healthy neurotransmitters. And then we'll try to taper you off and see how you do.
Because the pill's not just going to do it.
No.
It's not a magic pill.
It's great.
It'll help.
Yeah.
And you still need to try.
You do. And some people won't ever get off of it. You know, my experience with patients is the younger they are, the more likely they are to get off of it. If you're the older you are and the more like deeply grooved your stuff is, the harder it probably is to get off of it. And then it's fine to say, hey, I'm okay that I'm going to be on this for the rest of my life. It's giving me a, you know, beautiful life. I had one woman in her 60s who decided like, oh, okay, I'm going to try to go off this drug by myself. And she'd been on it for 20 years. And she didn't come to me for a year after she stopped it. So she suffered for a year just trying to gut it out and not enjoying life and having like no vitality. And now we just put her back on the drug. And she's in wonderful. She's like, this is awesome.
She hit the reset.
Yeah. So, I think meditation is super powerful. I think realizing that most of us live our lives like all in our head, on the hamster wheel, going, just like going through our days. And if you're not taking the time to sit with yourself and tap into yourself and like connect to that next level, you are missing out on some pretty freaking cool experiences. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, do you, for somebody who would just get into to meditation then?
Yeah.
Can you just get into it living the lifestyle that you've had for however long you've had it? You know, if you're just not feeling great, if your diet isn't great, you're going
for
out.
For sure.
You can still, you can just dive
absolutely
right in.
Absolutely. Yes. Yep. It could be ground one for you, or step one for sure. Yep.
Awesome.
So I'd say try it out. Okay. And then the only last thing I'm going to say about the whole point of that was, that when I had that experience with the glow coming from the concrete heart, again, it made me realize this is another thing I've been practicing that has been really, really shifting for me, especially with everything going on in the world, is it made me realize like that love that like I try to look at people, unless they really piss me off, I try to look at them and see them for love. You know what I mean? I try to be thankful for everything instead of always wanting something more. Cause you know, I'm a consumer. I like things. I like clothes. I like product. You know, I hate to admit it, but it is what it is. So it's like, how do I just appreciate what I have now? My house as it is, you know, my clinic as it is, cause we're working on getting a new building where it's going to be beautiful. But I'm like, why can't I appreciate my clinic just as it is today? You know what I mean? Like gratitude for what you have today, gratitude for the people around you, love for the people around you. And then on top of that, when someone does really piss you off, try to look beyond them and be like, why are they the way they are? Like that happened to me recently where I actually knew the backstory about this person who really pissed me off. And the backstory is really sad. Like there's a lot of trauma behind it. And so I was able to actually like flip it. And I, all of a sudden I felt really loving towards this person, even though they totally pissed me off. I was like, oh yeah, that's right. There's a reason why they're this way. So try to practice that gratitude, love, journaling. Maybe you'll get some crazy cool visions during your meditation because they're wicked fun. And then write them down because that's what I do. I like to go through my journals and like look back on some fun meditations that I had, and they're awesome.
I'm going to try it.
Yeah, it's fun.
I'm going to try it. Cool.
You don't even need the mushrooms.
Nope. No, you don't.
All right. Giddy up.